It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. Behind the News is also live on Radio Savannah 92.1 in Tamale, Ura Radio 89.7 in Bogatanga, GBC Karate FM 95.5, Kitty Karate and Unique FM 95.7 in Accra. The turbulence on the labor front seem far from over as more groups announce their determination to either hit the streets or stay away from work over the supposed economic woes of the Ghanaian worker. Organized labor refuses to back down on the decision to hit government hard with a nationwide strike on Thursday, the 24th of this month. NAGRAT says it's lacing its boots for the D-Day and has instructed all regional bodies to join the demonstration. Stanislav Nabome is the General Secretary of NAGRAT. Now join us via phone. Thanks, Stan, for your time with us tonight. Hello, Stan. Hello, can you hear me, Stan? Well, it appears Stan isn't on the line. We will quickly get him back so that we can continue with our conversation. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana Accra. Behind the News is also live on Radio Central 92.5 in Cape Coast, Sunrise FM 106.7 in Kofodia, Radio BR 93.5 in Sinani. Understand, Stan is back on the line. Good evening, Stan, and thanks for your time.
Good evening. Welcome.
Stan, organized labor has signaled its intention to down the tools of workers on Thursday, but are you immune to the concerns of labor estates that, rather than solving the economic woes currently plaguing the country, you are muddying the waters?
Yes, we are aware of the economic woes in the country, but we are also interested in our ability to survive in the system.
Hello.
Interested in our ability to survive in the system. And the pressures on us now are so high, we have to cry out. That is why we are asking the government to do something to mitigate the suffering that we are going through.
If you're asking government to do something, what exactly do you want government to do?
We want the government to give us a kind of package, something that will relieve us of the high cost of living. We haven't asked for increase in salary. This year, we understand the economic hardships are telling on the government, and that is why we do not ask for any increase in base pay. We willingly accepted a small cooler cost of living allowance, but now it's eroded by increases in fuel prices, utility tariffs, and all that. So we are asking the government to take the prudent economic measures that will reduce the suffering of the people, the working people of Ghana.
And Stan, do you think after hitting the streets on Thursday, government will now give workers a listening ear?
Please come again.
I'm asking, do you think that after hitting the streets on Thursday, government will now give workers a listening ear?
We expect the government to be concerned about the state of its workers. We expect that as a matter of right. And we want to believe that we will be able to articulate the situation to the sympathy of government. But if government chooses not to listen, then we will decide what to do next to survive.
And hitting the streets on Thursday, are you not worried that productivity will be low?
The government is aware of all this impact, the impact on productivity, and yet it went ahead. We have tried to speak to government. So we expect you to listen. In fact, the government will surprise us if it remains this way. Government must do something. It owes us a duty.
Let me also ask, did you exhaust all the necessary channels and avenues with government before deciding to join your colleagues from the other unions to demonstrate?
Madam, I'm surprised every time you people at the press dump at exhausting avenues every day. It looks like a national anthem to you. Have you ever asked if our employer demonstrates any commitment to our welfare? That's an important question you ignore.
But I'm still asking. It means that you have exhausted all the channels through negotiations, mediation.
We have done through negotiations. We've made appeals even to the president at Flagstaff House. We have.
Well, now let's come back to the strike on Thursday. Have you spoken to your workers to ensure the demonstration does not spill over, since some have the tendency to overact?
No, we know we are dealing with responsible membership. And then we will not expect that our members will take advantage of a demonstration and give us a spillover effect. We don't expect it.
So that means Thursday you are going all out on a demonstration to carry out your consent.
God willing, yes.
Stanislav, we want to thank you for your time with us. Stanislav Nabomi is the General Secretary of NAGRAT. Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. I can't still on our story. But before then, let's go to Naomi for some stories.
The Ghana Employers Association has introduced new measures to combat counterfeit and illicit trade in the country. The measures, when implemented, are expected to improve the operations of manufacturers, and especially textiles and pharmaceuticals. Speaking at a media briefing in Accra, the chief executive of the association, Alex Fimpong, expressed the hope that the action by its outfit will curb the menace and increase diversity and quality of products available for consumers. Government says it is on course to develop an airport in all the regions. Land has been acquired to begin the whole airport, while the Wa airstrip is under rehabilitation. Also, talks are far advanced for land acquisition and appropriate location for the Cape Coast and Borgatanga airports. Government, again in collaboration with relevant agencies, is in the process of establishing a second international airport in the Dangbe West District. These projects were announced by the Transport Minister, Kifa Ativo, at the media press series in Accra. To improve service provision, the minister also announced the procurement of 200 new buses for the Metro Mass Transit to augment its current fleet of more than 1,000 buses.
It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. Let's look at the security implications of the Labour turbulence as more groups signal their intention to hit the streets. And security and international diplomacy expert at Laser Legon, Dr. Ken Ahosu, is on the line with his views. Good evening, Dr. Kenya. Welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Doc, in what ways does the numerous labor unrest compromise the country's security?
Well, security in the sense of physical security, there is no threat that when people exercise their rights in civil disobedience, it will amount to a search, issuance, and other people try to join them and cause mayhem. And I think that the security agents are up to the task to deal with it. I'm concerned about is the image that it gives to the country. There is no doubt that Ghana is going through hard times and things are not what anybody wants it to be. But then, the only way out, as I think, is that we should use the normal channels for grievance addressing and then look at our own lifestyles and in our own little ways and see how best we can help reduce the hardship that we are facing at the moment. The point I'm making is that normally Ghana has become a destination for a lot of investment, and people want to invest in Ghana because it's a peaceful country. People want to invest in Ghana because these people are very welcoming, or are people of a good report. So for that matter, I think that keeping this image of Ghana alive is very, very important in order to attract investors to come into the country. And I am very much concerned when there is always demonstration and this kind of thing. What it shows any visitor or tourist or any investor is that the country is not safe, it's not stable for investment. And by so doing, it is the teeming family of unemployed people who may in one way or the other have employment who suffer. So largely the threat is economic threat when people demonstrate. And I think that this is what we have to look at. No matter the government that may come after the present government, there are some basics that are important. We have to look at our lifestyle, eat what we grow, and weigh things that we do. Because we don't have, when you look at generally African economy, we don't have an economy. We are just importing economy and not exporting economy. So such type of cyclical type of economic hashes will come here and there. So personally, my view is that the labor organizations should go another length and discuss with the government how best to solve their issues, because going onto the streets is not going to put food on your table or going to solve issues overnight.
Well, Doc, if that is the situation, as you have vividly explained in terms of economic threat and denting the image of the country, why then does government also wait till workers or aggrieved persons demonstrate before it acts?
No, I think that as far as the government is concerned, it's not doing well as far as its public relation or how to engage the Ghanaian public is concerned. For example, I have been wondering when the petrol prices were not increased, given the crisis that was in Iraq, the crisis that has emerged in Libya, the crisis that is in Syria, and then the oil prices on the world market was just what? Going ahead. I was expecting all this while that government would have engaged the various labor sectors and with various segments of society, traditional rulers and the rest, and discuss with them the situation that the government is facing so that people will understand. You know, it's not everybody who is reading international news to know that the oil prices are increasing. There is this difficulty here and there. And then what they did was that they didn't want to increase the price, and all of a sudden we had oil shortage because of the subsidies which they have to pay in addition to the cost of the oil. So I think largely when people criticize the present government, this public relations, the engagement of Ghanaians, and the ability to explain to Ghanaians that this is what is happening, what should we do? This is what we do. I think this is where there is a gap. And in the absence of credible information, people resort to rumor peddling, and people take the situation in their own way to their own advantage. I think this is where the government is failing. Like,
hello, Doc.
Yes.
Well, I have this text message here from Obapeni Efuya Dansere in Accra, and she says, if law-abiding citizens decide to demonstrate peacefully with placards to register their neglect by government, and it has security implications, she wants to know from you, in what way should aggrieved persons register their protest over government policies?
Well, that's what I'm saying, that there are so many ways. We have the floor in Parliament. We have the labor channels, the labor commission. We have TV stations, we have radio stations whereby people call and then question things, talk shows, and that kind of thing. I think these are more organized ways than everyday people getting on the street and then saying that to bully and that kind of thing. I think that it's a right they have, which they can exercise. But at the end of the day, I don't think that is really productive. Because when all these demonstrations, strikes, and everything goes on, they go back to the negotiating table often to settle the issue. So if these channels are available, what is important is that they exploit it in the first place and stop creating mayhem. You can imagine a road that will be closed when strike demonstrations are going on. Somebody who has to go to work, so all kinds of inconveniences are created. Then after all these things, they go back and sit down and negotiate. I think, for me, I think the government as well as the Labour Commission and organization should sit down and talk and explain to each other what the issues are. Now, when you say this kind of thing, people think that you are comfortable. People think that you are part of government. For sure, I'm not part of government. I'm just a common lecturer. Yeah, but then when you have lived in countries, especially Asian countries, and you've seen the progress that these countries have made, people think that it just happened overnight. But they have a culture of grievance addressing. They have a culture of developing. They have a culture that they pursue to the point that they come to understand each other and how to help each other out of their difficulties. This is the disparity between Africans and the Asians. People have been using all sorts of analysis to say that this is why they have gone ahead and we are behind. But they have a culture of how to talk to each other, how to understand each other, how to sacrifice for each other. Now, on the other hand, other people are arguing that those who are in government are living off the largesse of Ghana. They are living comfortably and that kind of thing. That is something I cannot speak to. And then I think that we have only one Ghana. And the only way that we can be comfortable in Ghana is that the country itself, our economy should be viable. And the only way we can, we've benefited a lot from the mayhem that have occurred in Nigeria, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and recently in Cote d'Ivoire, whereby a lot of our economy, industries have relocated to Ghana. Head office was relocated to Ghana, and they have employed a number of people. If we are sending the wrong message to them every day, the least and getting onto the street and living as if there is no tomorrow for Ghana, I believe that we'll be cutting our nose to spite our face.
Well, Doc, the government has initiated a move to talk to organized labor for negotiation. Is that a step in the right direction? And others also perceive the initiative as coming too late.
I've made this point already, and I said that point is we're getting out of hand. The government should have been more proactive and gone ahead and explained to people. People might not be satisfied when things are explained to them that this is the situation, this is the favorable condition in which we are. But then at least they would take the point that they have been respected, they have been acknowledged, they have been regarded as what? Worthy citizens that they have to talk to. It is not only when situations is getting out of hand that government should work. Come to the negotiating table and call on them that I want to talk to them. And I hope that they are only learning their lesson.
Doc, we want to thank you for your time with us. Dr. Ken Ahosu is a security and international diplomacy expert at Lesia Legon. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. Now let's also pick the views of the Vice Chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Employment, Social Welfare and Enterprises, Joseph Bukari, who is presently on the line. Good evening, Sir Bukari, and welcome to the program.
Good evening, and thank you for having me on your program.
Well, Mr. Bukari, you are the Vice Chair of this very important committee in Parliament. In what way has your committee helped in reducing or even stopping all these labor agitations going on?
Yes, the Committee on Employment, Social Welfare and State Enterprises have engaged a lot of labor unions in trying to bring to an amicable settlement of their disputes. However, this one took us at the blind side because we're preparing to go on research, and by the time we could hear of this, we had gone on research and for now, we are considering to see how we can call back members and then see whether we can intervene in this.
And in all this, who would you fault for these agitations?
Madam, it's difficult to point to a particular source where you can put the blame on. But we as a people, we as Ghanaians, it is our responsibility that in terms of crisis, we come together and work to come out of those crises. It is not time to begin to apportion blames or point fingers. I think it is time to show some patriotism. It is time to show support. It is time to show loyalty, and that we will all come together to make this place a better place.
But can you say government has handled labor agitation the best way?
There is no other situation where you can have it in perfection. You have to continuously work to perfect whatever situation that comes your way. The demands are coming, and government is also constrained in resources. We are making demands because the economic conditions are no more favorable for us, and government is also having some difficulties in raising revenue and also mobilizing the needed resources to be able to manage all issues in the country. And so in this situation, it calls for patriotism, it calls for loyalty to the state, to the country, that we all come together, look at the problem, identify the problem, sit at the round table and see how we can both resolve those challenges and then become a better nation once again.
So going forward, how do we resolve all these industrial agitations?
We can only appeal to all the labor unions. The law allows that any recognized workplace can go on demanding and going on to use certain legitimate means to make or get their demands. However, on this occasion, government has come out to explain to us that yes, there are challenges, but it also means that we come together. And I will also want to, on behalf of the Committee on Employment, Social Work and State Enterprises, appeal to all the labor unions and bodies that we come to a round table. We come to a round table and sit down, put the issues on the table. We can involve other bodies. Like I earlier on said, we are trying to gather members again and see how we can invite all the labor unions and see how we can also intervene. But we want to appeal that we all come to a round table, sit down and judge all in terms of crisis so that we can together come out of these challenges that are currently confronting our nation and also put the image of our country positively in the international world, because it doesn't speak well that a lot of strikes, a lot of demonstrations, and everywhere we do not take time. Our fear is that some other people might infiltrate our ranks, and also the peace that we are, even though we have some little challenges in our economy, but the peace that we are enjoying, the stability that we have, some other people might infiltrate and then make other things worse for us.
But how soon will you get the labor unions on table to help address some of these issues?
For now, is that we are going on the demonstration on Thursday. It looks a little late, but we are directing the clerk of the committee to see how we can gather committee members who just left Accra for their various constituencies because we are on recess, and see how we can gather them within the shortest possible time and meet with the labor unions. But I wouldn't want to fix any date because we are yet to, at least we will need to meet with them, we need to program with them and be able to put a date that will be suitable for all of us to be able to sit at a round table and see how we can together bring some peace to the labor front.
Mr. Bukari, as an MP, are you also feeling the economic hardship yourself, and how has it impacted on your work in Parliament?
Well, there is nowhere in this world that no one will experience some challenges, no matter who you are, what you are, and what you do. And so, like any other Ghanaians, we have challenges with our economy. We all saw increases in our petroleum products. We saw increases in our transport costs. We saw the depreciation of, we are seeing the depreciation of the CD, which is affecting everybody. However, some kind of loyalty to our country, and then once again work hard to bring back all those economic gains, and then we'll be able to have a better place.
All right. We want to thank you for your time with us. Joseph Bukari is the Vice Chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Employment, Social Welfare and State Enterprises. That's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana Accra. Behind the News is also live on Radio Savannah 91.2 in Tamale, Garden City Radio 92.1 in Kumasi, and Twin City Radio 94.7 in Second D, Takrade. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana Accra. Well, it's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana Accra. As government works quietly to resolve the several strikes and demonstrations all over the place, the unrest are yet to die down as more groups join the fray. POTAG is on strike. UTAG is flexing its muscles over its book and research allowance. And just today, the National Union of Ghana Students, NUPSA, and the Ghana National Union of Polytechnic Students, GNUPSA, they will also embark on a three-day demonstration starting on the 29th of this month to register their protest over the withdrawal of certain allowances of students at the tertiary level. The two groups in a statement also bemoaned the alleged collapse of the school feeding program and the failure to clear arrears they get fund and subvention to SHS in the country. Let's talk to the chair of the Education Committee in Parliament, Mathias Poza, to share his thoughts on the POTAG issue. Good evening, Mr. Poza, and you're welcome to the program. Hello. Well, it appears we've lost Mr. Poza on the line. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. Behind the News is also live on Unique FM 95.7 in Accra, GBC Karachi FM 95.5 in Kete Karachi, Ura Radio 89.7 in Bolgatanga, Radio Savannah 91.2 in Tamale, Radio Central 92.5 in Cape Coast, and Sunrise FM 106.7 in Kofuga. Is Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana Accra, and we understand Mathias Poza is back on the line. He's the chair of the Education Committee in Parliament. Good evening, Senya. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening, madam.
Mr. Poza, hey, you have been in a long meeting over the POTAG issue in Accra today.
Yeah.
Anytime the striking teachers are coming back to school.
Yeah. Could you be a bit, raise your voice a bit more?
I'm saying that you have been in a long meeting over the POTAG issue in Accra today, and I'm asking many times the striking teachers are coming back to school.
Oh, madam, we haven't got there yet.
So where have you got? Where have you reached?
All that I can say for now is that we made a lot of progress, and We in fact, I can't go into details for now because we said we are going to meet with the Minister of Education before we can come out public. But for now, what I can tell you and your listeners is that we've made progress. POTAG has been very cooperative, and I know that we'll soon get there.
Well, you say you are not disclosing all the details to us, but what has been the thorny issue all this while?
Well, madam, that is what I want. As chairman, I will not want to break the law, the rule that we set. We said, let us really pursue this into the end before we go public.
Well,
all that I can say, which is very, very, which is a fact, is that we've made a lot of progress.
And you said,
I want to assure you that not in the, I mean, in the very short time, we'll come up with something.
And you said you'll be meeting the Minister of Education. How soon will that be? And is that situation going to be solved once
Madam, this week, we've set ourselves the task of trying to resolve this as soon as possible.
And with that,
we're on recess, and it's not easy to keep colleagues around.
And after you meet the Minister of Education, are we sure that the situation is going to be solved once and for all?
Well, we believe so. That is why we've decided to meet and discuss issues in detail.
Well, apart from the Potag issue, we also hear Nubs and Junubs are demonstrating close to the end of this month over the withdrawal of certain allowances due them. In what way can your committee also intervene in such matters?
Oh, okay, madam. That hasn't yet come to our notice. It's not yet. You see, it's the police students that really appealed to the speaker to intercede. And as is the practice, the issue was directly sent to us, and we are trying to do that on behalf of Parliament, on behalf of the speaker and for the matter Parliament. So when we get there, we'll cross the bridge.
Well, how also about the UTAG issue over their book and research allowance?
Madam, so we are getting there.
All right, so we want to thank you for your time.
I believe I'll be more useful next time.
All right.
But now, I gave the order that we should, let's try to keep this in control, so that we get it to the end before we publish our results.
All right. So we want to thank you for your time. Yeah. My thanks. Paul Zai is Chair of the Education Committee in Parliament. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. I can answer some of your text messages. And Kwame Naka says, I am a teacher and I'm not ready to join anyone who'd want to use me to gain his political power. And Joe in Winneba says, I think it's time for the TUC boss Kofi Asamoah to form a political party. Anytime he appears in public, it is either demonstration or pay increase for workers. Many thanks for your text messages. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. I can answer our next story. And it seems the rift between the board and workers of Kolebu Teaching Hospital is yet to end. A letter from the board to three union leaders at the pharmacy unit to proceed and compose relief for a forensic audit to be conducted on them has heightened the existing standoff between the two sides. They have been accused of malfeasance. But in protesting this, the workers have closed the pharmacy department and rather accused the board of trying to victimize the union leaders. And in another development, the new health minister, Kwaku Adjumanefa, is reported to have reinstated the dismissed CEO of Kolebu Teaching Hospital, Reverend Alfred Buchi. The Ministry of Health had earlier dismissed Reverend Buchi as the CEO of Kolebu. Tonight, Behind the News explores the developments in the health sector. And Stephen Kokwe is the chairman of Government and Hospital Pharmacist Association and join us on the line. Steve, good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening and good evening to your listeners.
Well, Steve, so why was the pharmacy department of Kolebu Teaching Hospital closed today?
My information is that the pharmacy department met and they were not very happy about the board chairman's decision to suspend our colleagues in the department because of a forensic audit that is supposed to be done on the drug procurement and stock processes in the pharmacy department. And they thought that even if in at all, there have been an incident where the same audit firm has also taken a forensic audit at the psychiatry hospital. And they have never told any of the pharmacy staff to proceed on leave. So this one came as a surprise to them.
So that's the reason why the pharmacy was closed today?
Yeah, because they thought that there's an issue about victimization, and they thought that if they are not against any forensic audit to be carried out, that they will definitely welcome any forensic audit, because definitely it will exonerate them in any way. But they were not very happy that looks like there's some sort of vindictiveness that is being carried out.
But, Steve, closing down the pharmacy, is that the best way to go?
Well, that is their protest. They think that in order for people to understand that whatever has happened, they need to protest, and that's the form of protest that they are taking.
And do you have any idea how long it will be closed? Is it indefinite? And then what happens to patients?
Well, for now, they are managing emergency patients and inpatients. So that is being taken care of. So that is not being critical. But further on, I don't know what will really happen. Maybe the whole issue might be transferred to the other facilities in the government hospitals around the country. This is not an issue affecting government and hospital pharmacies.
But then, are these disagreements healthy for a major health facility like Kolibu?
Come again?
I'm asking, these disagreements, are they healthy for a major health facility like Kolibu?
That is the problem. I thought issues cropping up with the pharmacy department has always come out, especially the gallant men and women who have worked for the pharmacy for years, have sacrificed their knowledge and wisdom and done enormous job to make sure that patients that come to the hospital are provided the needed medicine that will make them their health being provided. So if one way or the other something has happened, it could be a procedural thing. I think amicably they can sit down. It could be an audit query. That audit query can be answered, and that should be way forward.
But Steve, as the chair of GOFSA, what solutions do you have to stop the continuous closure of Kolibu, or the pharmacy at Kolibu?
I think that the management and the board should sit down with the pharmacist and see how best they can be able to trash this issue out amicably without allowing some of its members to proceed on leave. Like I said earlier on, that same forensic audit has been carried out in another jurisdiction, but none of the pharmacy staff was allowed to proceed on leave. So why was asked to proceed on leave? So why this time? And it's the same audit firm that did that same forensic audit. So why this time in Kolibu this thing is happening? Is that some people have some ulterior motive? I don't want us to go there. The main part is that we all came to the hospital to work for the betterment of the patient, either be the management or the staff as well. So we all want the patient actually enjoy the maximum care.
And again, I think I didn't get a response to how long the pharmacy will be closed. Is it indefinite or?
Well, they'll be meeting every day and they'll be reviewing the situation. So possibly tomorrow they will meet and be reviewing the situation, whether to continue or to suspend or wait. But the patient has always been in their mind any decision that they take.
And Steve, we have reports that you in particular has been asked to go on leave over some of these issues. Can you confirm that to us?
I would not like to respond on that. I told your journalist that I've been asked by my lawyer not to respond on those issues. I'm responding on issues because I am the chairperson of the Government Hospital Pharmacy Association.
All right, Steve, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Stephen Kokwe, chairman of the Government and Hospital Pharmacists Association, is behind the news live on Radio Ghana Accra. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. This text message from Antonio says, I think the option left is for the government to scrap their single spine and revert to the old salary structure so that monies accrued would be used to subsidize the price of utilities. Many thanks, Antonio, for your text messages. And your text line again is 0266677570. Your comments and contributions are welcome on Behind the News. Let's go to Naomi for some stories.
A national climate change policy, as well as an environment policy, has been launched in Accra as a first step towards the country's preparedness to deal with challenges of the global phenomenon. President John Mahama, who launched the twin policies, stated that climate change should no longer be a topic for debate because the future of the country and generations unborn will be affected by how well the issue of climate change is tackled.
Many thanks, Naomi. Now to other stories. And how worried are you about foreigners acquiring large tract of land? While land lawyer and economist Dr. Nana Opon is currently pursuing a case at the Supreme Court for a legislation to address the issue of foreigners owning land in Ghana. Where has the case reached so far at the Supreme Court? And Dr. Nana Opon, who is with the University of Applied Management, has joined us on the phone to look at his worry on foreigners and land acquisition. And since we've lost Dr. Nana on the line, it's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. And before we continue with our issue on foreigners and land, let's go to Naomi again.
Keita, Ada, Elmina and Azim are among 25 towns seriously affected by sea level rise due to climate change. Fishermen along these towns are losing their livelihood, and farming, which is an alternative, is also impacted by saltwater intrusion of lands, also a climate problem. Electra, the Department of Marine and Fisheries Science of the University of Ghana, Dr. Kwesi Apieni-Addo, was speaking in Accra at the third Climate Change and Population Conference in Africa.
Many thanks, Naomi, and we understand Dr. Nana Opon is back on the line. Doc, good evening, and welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, Doc, why should the issue of foreigners acquiring land get you worried?
You see, land is everything. It's food, it's spaces for future.
Hello, Doc. If you could reposition yourself well, we are losing you. Hello? Well, it appears we are having some challenges with the line. We will call our doc again and continue with our conversation on foreigners acquiring large tracts of land in our country. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. News Live on Radio Ghana Accra. Doc, welcome back. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, Doc, I was asking, why should the issue of foreigners acquiring land get you worried?
Yes, because land is everything. Even when you have no money, you have no education, you have nothing, but you have land, at least it will guarantee you a place to sleep, guarantee you food, water, and in some cases, medicine. And that's all we have. We cannot grow land. And when foreigners take over the land, then they control our food sources, they control water, they control medicine, they control our movement. And if we are an independent country, how can we allow foreigners to take over our land, especially when they would never accept us to do the same thing to them? If you go to Canada, US, UK, or whatever, no foreigner has any control over their land.
Well, Doc, how do you reconcile your views with the national drive to attract foreign investments? Because some of the investors will need land. So do you suggest that we should forego those investments?
No, not at all. If you look at Canada and the US and UK and Europe, they have a lot of investors, but they control all the land. So why is it that they can have investors, they attract investors, and they don't seek control over their land to foreigners? But we have to our land to foreigners. We can still have foreigners come and bring us their money, but we can control what they do in our country. That's all we have to do. We have to be wise about it. We have to balance the need for investment with the need for sovereignty, the need for freedom.
Now, you are pursuing a case at the Supreme Court for a decision on foreigners acquiring land. What do you want the court to do exactly?
Right now, there's no clarity on the issue. Anybody can go into their head and take as much land as they want.
Hello, Doc.
Hello?
Yeah, if you could reposition yourself well again.
All right. Okay, so what's happening, Doc? Can you hear me?
Well, it's pretty bad, Doc.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, it's much better.
Is it much better?
Yes, it is.
Yes, I'm saying there's no regulation right now. Can go and buy as much land as you want. So, the foreigner, is here for a week, you don't even know who they is or they are. They can go and buy the land. They can be buying for government, they can be buying for company. And that's the problem. Who are these people buying the land? Why are they buying the land? Is this good for Ghana? What about the children of the future? What's happening to Ghana? We have to call this to account. And that's what we ask them to do.
So you were in court today. How did the proceedings go?
Yeah, of course, I cannot go too much detail into what happened. So I just have to say that the state is actually challenging my position. They want my case thrown out because apparently that would affect the investors and the economy and so on and so forth. Whereas I'm more interested in the national welfare. I'm interested in the future. I'm not interested in the short-term gain of bringing people into the country and bringing some money for the economy. If we're really wise, we don't really need as many investors as we think we do. We have to be very smart about the management of our resources. Then we depend less on foreigners to come into our country.
All right, Doc, we want to thank you for your time with us. I'm sure we'll follow through with this on another time. Many thanks. Dr. Nana Opon is a land lawyer and economist, and he's also with the University of Applied Management. Is behind the news live on Radio Ghana Accra. To some of your text messages, and Elias in town says, as organized labor gets ready to demonstrate against hardship, more and more harsh economic measures are being visited on the citizens. God knows when the hardship would end. What would the 100% increment in train fares have on petty traders and peasant farmers? Can we ever have respite under the government? God save us. And Gandibu Na Evan says, in hard times like this, we are going on demonstration all over the country. Oh, Ghana. In to me, Daniel says, in Bando Gati, reshuffling regional ministers has nothing to do with Ghanaians. What Ghanaians need now is fulfillment of promises made to them. More of your text messages. And Mahama Inwa says, as a first step towards stabilizing the economy, I suggest the government should revisit the issue of S. Gratia for Article 71 office holders, what kind of animal farm is this? And House Party in Kiko says, I hope the government will listen to TUC's request and resolve their plight. Many thanks for your text messages. Let's go back to our story on the labor turbulence, and join us on the line as labor and mediation expert Austin Gamin. Good evening, Mr. Gamin. You are welcome to the program. Hello, Mr. Gamin. Can you hear me?
How are you?
I'm very well, sir. Mr. Gamin.
How are you?
I'm very well, sir. Mr. Gamin, did you experience anything like what organized labor is embarking upon on Thursday when you were at the Employment Ministry?
Well, not to this extent, but there was the turbulence all the same.
And you said not to this extent, but how did you resolve it? And if you did?
Actually, we engaged ourselves at the time. We talked, but it was a little proactive.
Well, we know the cost in terms of economic and social impact of strikes and demonstrations, but can you quantify the international ramifications of these incessant strikes and demos in the country?
Well, to be honest with you, this is what we do at our work as an organization. So, yes, we know how to calculate it, but certainly I cannot do it on air here right now. And it's extremely, extremely expensive. In the past, I didn't know how to calculate it also, but when I went to study, now I know, and I know that not too many people know how to calculate it, albeit maybe the wrong way, but it's extremely expensive.
And Mr. Gamin, what could labor and mediation experts like you have done to prevent the strike if given the chance?
Well, you know, unfortunately, in our country, we don't make use of such facilities. Everybody assumes he knows something. Otherwise, yeah, places like the United States of America, there's no single negotiation that they go without having the presence of a mediator or an expert in negotiation to sit between the parties and facilitate the process of the negotiation. In Ghana, we don't do it because everybody is a king of itself. Nonetheless, we are maybe getting there. This is a process where a facilitated negotiator or mediator could sit between the parties, either using, you know, a pause process or using an appreciative approach to guide the parties to talk. But there's so many good things both sides have been doing. And so we just have to assist them to bring it forward and do what is expected of them. Unfortunately, listening is a problem to many of us in this country. And so it appears we have taken position and we are bent on doing what we want to do. So maybe we'll learn a lesson tomorrow thereafter.
But briefly, Mr. Gamin, why is government finding it difficult to convince organized labor to back down on this particular nationwide strike? And is organized labor being difficult?
Well, I think I heard the new Minister for Employment and Labor Relations acted in a way that I can say I appreciate a lot. Because even before he could take his seat there, he caused a statement to be issued inviting organized labor for dialogue, which is very, very good, and I congratulate him for that. I heard organized labor appreciating the call, and they said they would want to attend. As to whether they would like to openly do it, so that if it's beneficial to both sides, then there might be no need for even the action they want to take. But they've already taken a position that no matter what, they will do it. But let's see. Perhaps, for adventure, when they go and talk, I don't know the role of employers in this matter, even though the employers might be facing the same economic problem like I'm facing. Also, there is always a way out, saving costs than going the full hog of wanting to pay the hashing at all costs.
Well, Mr. Agami, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Austin Game is a labor and mediation expert. And to some of your text messages quickly, Abeke Asa in Sirigu says, oh, demo here, demo there. Where lies the problem? My president is competent, but some ministers must be sacked. Joe in Winneba says, let's see Kofi Asamoah know that threats of demonstrations cannot solve our economic problems. Stop it now. And this man, Isa in Sefi Bunsun Kwanta says, we cannot deny the fact that there is hardship in the country, but some are using it to make the country ungovernable. And many thanks for all your text messages. This is where we wrap up for tonight's edition of the program. Hannah Owusu Bempa controlled the sounds, and my producers were Christopher Sidu Edmond Tete, writer Grandma John Poby and Celestine Avi. Naomi Kwame was my summarizer. My name is Agatha Samoa. You have a lovely night.